When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This episode of Into the Night is brought to you by our loyal listeners and followers. Fazbear Entertainment appreciates your viewership and those who support the show by commenting, sharing, and subscribing. If you wish to support this broadcast, please consider checking out the official merch store and Patreon for more information.
This episode is a continuation of our Security Breach audiobook series. If you haven't watched from the beginning, we recommend starting at episode 26, Security Breach, and listening to all episodes up to this point to know the full context of the storyline so far. Once the door to the charging station finally yielded, Gregory had already lost any hope of being able to catch up with the daycare attendant. 5 minutes had elapsed, and the moon's sinister cackling had dissipated, nor could he hear Freddy's metal grind against the ground as he was being dragged away. Gregory, alone and resolute, peered through the expansive observation window into Parks and Services. His eyes bulged. He could see Freddy on the other side, but only his head was visible. The animatronic bear was ensconced within a peculiar cylindrical contraption, its robotic limbs and appendages doing who knows what to him inside. I mean, it was Parts and Services. Maybe they were fixing him? Gregory wondered, but if so, would Freddy emerge as his loyal friend? Or would he succumb to the fate of the other Glamrocks, joining their relentless pursuit? Either way, he knew what he had to do. Liberate Freddy from whatever mechanical clutches held him as fast as possible. Urgency propelled his steps as he grasped the handles of the double doors and pulled. A fleeting moment of confusion crossed his features, replaced swiftly by a furrowed brow, a subtle shake of the head, and a muttered expletive. Of course, of course, of course, of course. The door is locked, and he did not have the proper security clearance to get in. If he was going to get to Freddy, he needed to find another pass in order to get inside. It would be precarious to attempt to forge for another pass back up top. The last time he and Freddy had separated, albeit out of necessity, it inevitably ended up with him being captured by Vanessa and almost made into rabbit food for some deranged lunatic running around the Pizzaplex. No, spelunking deeper into the facility seemed like the wiser course of action if he hoped to secure a pass and rescue his friend. Gregory began retracing his steps from when he and Freddy got off the elevator. Freddy was moving quite hastily in order to get him to safety, so he didn't have a good chance to take in the landscape of the hallway they traversed. It was quite possible that he may have skipped past a door or a hallway.
Hello. Please take this map.
I hate that thing!
Gregory was just about to reach the midway point in the hallway to the stage lift when he was forcibly grabbed by the annoying map bot again. Somehow, this stupid thing had either followed him or wandered all the way down here, and he was unlucky enough to run into him again and be forced to endure his husking of his wares.
Take a map.
Actually, now that Gregory had a chance to look at the map he was offering, this wasn't the same one he had. It was an employee map for the navigation of the labyrinth of utility tunnels beneath the Pizzaplex. Well, the map bot is 2-for-1, but he'll take his blessings when he can get it.
For the love of the Holy Fez Spirit, take a map.
Will you shut up?
Don't get me, little kid. My AI was the same one used to write Madam Web.
The map bot, with a gesture reminiscent of a disgruntled human, rolled away. Whatever. He unfurled the map and started to search for a waypoint. It seemed like the utility tunnels worked as a circle that had either utility stairs or elevators that connected to various venues in the pizzaplex above ground. If he was reading the map correctly, Parts and Service was located directly beneath both the stage and connected to Rockstar Row. That path, along with any other avenue he could attempt to navigate, all were located on the posterior of Parts and Service. The only other offshoot path was a dead end that led into a storage warehouse adjacent to Parts and Service.
It looks like there's a security office nearby. If I can find another security badge, I can get into Parts and Service.
Attached to the warehouse appeared to be a security office somewhere. It wasn't exactly marked on the map, just a badge inside a rectangular outline that was labeled warehouse. The only other signifier on the map was a smaller rectangle next to the badge that was designated as the playpen? Strange, but it was his only context to where his next security pass is. Gregory began moving down the hall, following the map, going through another garage door shutter that opened automatically from his presence. He entered a compact garage, a space where loaders likely rested when not in use. A small forklift occupied a corner, its battery replenished by a device akin to those charging Fazbear flashlights. Gregory decided to take a moment to recharge his own flashlight before proceeding to the opposite end of the garage, where yet another shutter awaited him. Despite the room behind him serving as a vehicle storage garage for heavy lifting, the hall before him resembled a marked road, albeit one obstructed by makeshift barricades. Tables and tarp-covered cargo crates formed these improvised barriers, flanking both sides of the passage, making it impossible for vehicles to get in. As Gregory walked forward, small lights flickered to life, casting a hot orange glow upon the scene. Gregory extinguished his flashlight and continued his track, deftly weaving around the obstacles. Yet, as he advanced, an unsettling stench grew more pronounced. It was a heady mix of motor oil, sweat, and chemicals, an olfactory echo that reminded him of his time in the Superstar daycare. The combination of disinfected and sanitation smell that is supposed to purify an area, but something was just off enough that you doubted it was actually that effective. As Gregory surveyed his surroundings, trying to pinpoint where exactly that unsettling scent was emitting from, he noticed that the walls bore stains, dirty and discolored, with some form of viscous dark liquid seeping from the ceilings. He passed under various orange support structures that were connected to the sides of the corridor and connected at the midpoint of the ceiling. A tangle of black wires crossed through the center of the pillars and traveled all the way towards what he expected to be the hallway's terminus. Suddenly, a resounding clunk echoed ahead, causing Gregory to freeze. He skulked forward at a slow and easy pace, tilting his head to make sure he wasn't going to run into another member of the glam rock band. A sense of dread crept over him, amplified by the pregnant stillness that hung in the air, just like before the sound echoed throughout the corridor. Peering beyond the final barricade in the hallway, Gregory's gaze fell upon a fallen table near the corridor's end. There, like a motionless sentinel, stood a naked endoskeleton. Gregory was also frozen in place, but tried his best to discern his features from where he stood. The endoskeleton he was witnessing didn't appear active. It was slouching, his arms and head slumped, and his knees buckled.
So this is what you look like inside? Creepy. I like you better with your shell on.
This marked the first time he had glimpsed a Glamrock animatronic without its outer covering. He had encountered previous versions of Fazbear endoskeletons and examined remnants of their parts in Rockstar Road Museum, yet this sight was strikingly different from his expectations. The Glamrock Endo, a testament to technological evolution, stood resolute in sleek gray. Its sturdy metallic frame exceeded his imagination. The robust torso, adorned with the latest of glistening gold wires, wove an intricate tapestry. It's a testament to its advanced construction. A small pinch of curiosity compelled Gregory. He was interested if there was a way to discern which character the animatronic was supposed to belong to. He stepped forward, flashlight in hand, ready to illuminate the robot. As soon as the light touched the endoskeleton, It reawakened, transitioning smoothly from its once slouched state into a posed stance. Gregory instinctively took a few steps back, posed to flee. However, he noticed that despite reactivating, the Endo remained motionless. Its eyes, overly cartoonish plastic with slits where pupils would be, concealed the true optical sensors beneath. Small pinprick dots glowing a malevolent crimson locked on directly at Gregory. Yet the Endo made no move. It wasn't struggling or stuck. Gregory observed its legs subtly repositioning as it regained awareness, yet it stood completely still. Gregory didn't want to get near it, but he needed to pass it to get further into the warehouse. He needed to test how reactive it was. He looked around to see if he could maybe throw something at it. He tore his eyes away to look back where he came from, but swiftly returned his gaze once he heard the sound of shifty metallic feet. He swore that he only stopped looking for a brief moment, yet in the blink of an eye, the Glamrock Endo had closed half the distance between them, moving with blinding speed. As Gregory drew closer, he observed the endoskeleton's mouth hanging agape, and its two protruding ears perk up like a beast salivating over the discovery of fresh food. A strange sense of deja vu washed over him, though he couldn't pinpoint its origins. If it were merely the familiar feeling of staring death in the face, he could understand. The endoskeleton's bony structure and cold exterior exuded the aura of a grim reaper posed to claim a soul. But it wasn't just that. It was the creature's lurking, predatory stance that triggered an uncanny recognition. Gregory was about to blink in stupendous thought before he widened them after realizing what that would mean. The Glamrock Endo still hadn't moved again. It was still just as still as it was prior. He realized it only moved when he wasn't looking at it. As long as it was in his line of sight, and he didn't close his eyes, it wasn't going anywhere. Gregory held his flashlight firm in his hands and began to circumvent the Endo, giving himself a decent berth as he moved. Using his peripheral vision, he was able to see the hallway ahead of them was blocked by a chain-link gate, but he had to hope there was another way further in. Moreover, there was no way he allowed this thing to follow him back to parts and service. Gregory's heart raced as he maintained his unblinking gaze on the endoskeleton. The strain of not blinking began to gnaw at him, but he continued to shuffle backwards, using his free hand to explore the wall behind him, searching for a possible doorway or offshoot hallway. The stone was coarse and rough. It made the sound of rubbing something against sandpaper, but it was quite preferable to the sound of shredding metal coming after him. Gregory's heart skipped a beat when his fingertips grazed empty air. For a second, he thought he was about to stumble onto some kind of hole. Instead, once again relying on his peripheral vision, he noticed that there was a vent grate next to him that was open and easily accessible. Taking a quick breath, his eyes now beginning to itch at the inability to blink, he threw himself into the vent, hoping that the endoskeleton wasn't mobile enough to crawl after him. As Gregory scuttled through the vents, thankfully illuminated via evenly spaced red maintenance lights, he noticed the vents were a lot colder than his previous ventilation tracks in Rockstar Row and Elm Chips. Cobwebs clugged the shaft, lending an eerie, abandoned feeling to the place. As he made a right turn down the vent shaft, he heard the sound of tiny skittering feet coming closer. That couldn't have been the Endo, could it? He looked back to stop its movements, but flinched at the sight of another one of those decrepit, wind-up music men clamoring after him. Gregory hurried himself down the chute, hoping that once again the stupid toy would leave him alone once he got out of his domain. As he moved more ferociously, he began running into more and more of those disgusting spiderwebs, their slimy and sticky strands clinging to his face and getting his mouth as he kept scurrying forth. Eventually, he was able to find an opening and threw himself out of the vent, and as he got to his feet, you could see the music man once again retreat back into its territory. Freakish things. Who even thought those things were pleasant mascots for kids? At the very least, it didn't look like the Glamrock Endo was following right behind it. Gregory, pulling his flashlight from his back pocket, attempted to get his bearings. He found himself not on the other side of the fence, and if he recalled his map correctly, there was no other way to go within the utility tunnels. To his right, there was an immediately quarantined garage shutter boring red signage that labeled it out of order. Well, Gregory heard horror stories of people attempting to use Fazbear property that was labeled out of order, and he wasn't about to lose an arm and an eye over it. Turning in the opposite direction, past another forklift, Gregory encountered another hallway. This one resembled a small storage space for trash bins in the Pizzaplex. The bins bore iconography of Freddy, Chica, Roxy, and Monty, some already loaded onto a trolley, ready to be moved to the main floor. But as Gregory drew closer, he sensed something amiss. First, he felt it. A density of dust that preceded his visual confirmation of it. The vents themselves were already caked in it, but at the far end here, it was like a desert of it. Even the keys in the trolley were still present and covered in white particles. It didn't appear as if anybody had been down here for quite a long while. The second sensation was the smell again. Not so much the oil and the diesel this time around, but that miasma of chemicals. It wasn't overpowering, yet it hung in the air like music. What was that foul odor? Before Gregory could even ponder that question, he reached the end of the hallway. Another shutter door opened before him, releasing an even more potent aroma of the already vomit-inducing concoction into the air. His eyes watered, and he coughed and hacked, fighting for fresh air. But once he regained his composure, he blinked away the water in his eyes and peered deeper into this new area. The floor beneath Gregory's feet bore the unmistakable signs of heavy reinforcement, and even the walls looked much more durable and padded, as if the area was made for a toddler who could also topple buildings. The notion wasn't entirely far-fetched, he guessed, especially when he glanced to his left. There, a faded and dust-covered poster depicted the daycare attendant in his moon form. He recognized it as the same image he had seen on the advertisement monitors in the Superstar daycare lobby. Above him, speakers hissed a brief garble of static before a smooth voice broke through.
Welcome to the playpen. Here, young animatronic endoskeletons learn how to associate with guests.
This is episode 34. Indo Warehouse, Daycare, and Storage.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Motivation chips encourage our youth to one day develop a personality and become the next Freddy, Chica, or TBD Pizzaplex star.
The overhead announcer continued to expound more on the facility and the technology behind the Fazbear endoskeletons, akin to a tour guide explaining this peculiar off-section of the Pizzaplex to new employees or tourists. Gregory himself wasn't exactly paying attention to that robotic voice. He was too busy studying a large graphic on the wall. It was a square panel surrounded by a frame built into the wall. The cartoon depicted an uncanny scene. A child with a cut on their leg receiving first aid attention from a naked endoskeleton. The robot even broke the fourth wall by giving a thumbs up, but not to the child it was helping, but to whomever was witnessing the act. The whole cartoon was foreboding and conspicuousness and, well, how affirmative it was. The endoskeleton smiled while offering a thumbs up. The background featured a small stroke of calming blue, and a large green check mark stood prominently midway to the top of the graphic. In a way, it reminded Gregory of his old elementary school, those childish cartoon posters that teachers and faculty hung on the walls to reinforce specific behaviors or lessons they wanted children to absorb, like washing their hands in the bathroom or treating others the way they wanted to be treated.
This is backstage? I guess it's why they keep the curtains closed.
Gregory's frown deepened. The placement of the graphic was indeed peculiar, but its overall composition was equally strange. But as Gregory began to walk forward down the hallway in front of him, which narrowed as it was flanked by deactivated conveyor belts, he spotted another graphic at the end of the hallway. As he walked closer to it, he was hit by a small exhaust of steam, and he reflexively closed his eyes. Fortunately, while his eyes burned, it didn't burn his face. Rubbing his eyes, he looked down where the steam came from. It took him a while to decipher what it was, but soon he realized he was looking at a dismantled staff bot. It had lost its head, its arms and legs, and even its shell, leaving its inner endoskeleton chassis torn out and exposed. Based on the still flashing sparks and rising steam, whatever happened to the bot must have been recent. Tilting his head to the right, Gregory noticed an old-looking television box playing yet another advertisement for the daycare attendant. The moon peddled his moondrop candy in a constant loop, the advertisement restarting once the commercial had ended. Gregory could feel his anxiety prickling on his back. This was, without a doubt, the strangest and most esoteric location he had ever wandered into. His opinion on the uncanniness of the place only heightened as he reached the end of the hallway where the second graphic was. Not only did the items on the conveyor belt smoothly switch from endo parts to cushions and styrofoam blocks that he recognized from the daycare, but the graphic on display was that of another naked endoskeleton holding the hands of a child with their parents watching over them. The endoskeleton was also holding a bright red balloon as well. The same affirming iconography was still present here. The blue color scheme, the green check mark, and even the child giving a reassuring smile to the robot. What was going on here? Gregory's gaze darted around, seeking answers. While he couldn't find a solution for the purpose of the room's decor, he did spot a button in the usual shape of Freddy's head. Nearby, another staff bot lay disassembled, its parts piled in a corner. Gregory might have overlooked it entirely, if not for a red balloon suspended in the air, its string still being tightly clutched by the now deactivated and severed metal hand of the staff bot. Well, with no other option clearly available, Gregory pressed the button.
Hey, that wall just moved!
Oh, that's right, Gregory. The wall with the endo graphic immediately opened upon pressing the button. It began rising up into some hidden crevice between the walls. Gregory pulled out his flashlight. He didn't know exactly what he was expecting behind door number one, but it certainly wasn't this surreal landscape. When the wall finally opened up ahead of Gregory, it was another hallway, but while it still retained the cold concrete make, there was now cutesy art of green hills with flowers blooming on top, going all the way down the corridor. The ground, also still made of that reinforced material, also had large flower heads, with beautiful pink petals leading the way down the hall. The rails on the side had also changed from the standard ones you'd see on a catwalk to the padded pipes you'd see in an indoor jungle gym. Gregory was absolutely bewildered. What the actual hell was he looking at? He kept walking down the hall, made a little claustrophobic by the interweaving conveyor belts. Still deactivated, but now stopped in mid-transit of a cargo of Fazbear plushies that looked to be made for toddlers. The more he kept going down, the more disturbingly childish it was getting. Cutout stars that glowed faintly in the dark hung on strings from the ceiling, right next to childish artwork that had faded from neglect that was painted on the wall. When Gregory got to the end of the hallway, it finally opened up a little bit with a small rectangular room, where two more endoskeletons were sleep-standing beneath a dilapidated rainbow adorned the wall. Apparently, it was tea time before they went to sleep, if the small plastic china playset in the middle of them wasn't any indication. There were two chairs meant for three-year-olds, and a small blue plastic table in front of another TV repeating that same moon advertisement. In fact, there was even a plush of Moon on top of a few crates set up in the corner of the room. Why was there a child's playset down here? The distorted nascence was causing every single flight response in Gregory to blare and scream inside of him. He took a few tentative steps forward, careful to not take his eyes completely off the endos in case they wake up. Getting closer, he was able to spot not only another button by the crates in the corner, but another graphic on the right side of the wall. Gregory scrunched his face. This panel was strikingly different than the previous two. The endoskeleton in this graphic looked to be tackling a guest with a blue hat. The paint stroke behind the drawing was dark red, and there was a large crimson X on the top middle of the canvas. It still had that elementary education poster quality to it, but this time it was overwhelmingly negative. Gregory sighed. He still didn't get it. He looked around to see if he missed something, and as he turned, he spotted an unharmed staff bot, although deactivated, standing next to a shelf with a collection of plastic blue hats. Then again, they weren't like the blue hat on the graphic, which seemed to be a normal blue baseball cap. This plastic hat looked more like a helmet. Gregory put his palm to his forehead as his mind finally connected the dots. The announcer said when he had entered that this place was a learning environment for the endoskeletons. Gregory assumed that it was just a cutesy way of Phasma Entertainment explaining in layman's terms that this is where they stored and built all the robots in the Pizzaplex. But no, he realized now that they were being completely serious when they said that. They were being honest when they referred to the bots as their youth. This is how they teach the endoskeletons how to behave. This is how they treat them. Like infants. Gregory had to admit as he scratched his head, while it added up, it still didn't make a lick of sense. Why couldn't they just program all this information into the endoskeletons? Why go through all the rigmarole with what was basically a robot daycare? Wasn't it more hassle than it was worth? Pushing that aside, Gregory swiftly pressed the button, and the adjacent panel lifted, unveiling another corridor. As he advanced, the organizer layout resembled the previous one. But as he took a few steps into the new hall, he heard the sudden whirring of gears and quickly turned around. The two endoskeletons behind him had awakened, but were now frozen in mid-pursuit. If Gregory hadn't known their capability to move, he might have likened them to zombies. Their current posture resembled frozen mid-staggered undead. Maintaining control over his trembling hands, Gregory tightly gripped his flashlight, directing its beam and his gaze at the two window skeletons, who reciprocated with light crimson pupils. Gregory shuffled his feet slowly, keeping an ear out in case he heard a similar startup sound behind him. He trembled as his back hit the wall. Without tilting his head, the only other option to move forward was to his left, leading down another hallway. Turning the corner would block his ability to see the endos. He didn't know what was down there, but there wasn't really any option now that those two endos were blocking the entrance he came from. Stealing his resolve, Gregory controlled his breathing, took a few sidesteps to keep his eyes on the endos as long as possible, then made a swift dash down the hall. The moment he bolted, he could hear their rapid footsteps. Racing through the corridor, he passed by two more deactivated endos, reaching another small rectangular room with a graphic panel. Turning around, he saw the endos at the end of the hall where he had hit the wall. Their crimson pupils flickered menacingly in the dark, and the reflection of the metal pipes ahead of them hinted that the two endos he had passed had also awakened in response to his hurried escape. Gregory strained to discern his surroundings. It looked like the room he was in was designed to teach the endos about children's birthdays. A string of letter balloons floated in the air spelling out, "Party," while celebratory streamers twinkled from the ceiling. The graphic on display depicted an endo joyfully delivering a birthday cake to a child with an exuberant grin. However, the disconcerting aftermath suggested that the previous test subject had been a defective batch. The awaiting staff bot had its head decapitated, shoved into a cake with pink frosting. Gregory pressed the associative button to the panel, and it slowly crept open. This time, he didn't run. He walked backwards into the hall, his doubts receding at the same time he did so, and his concerns only deepened at the sound of mechanical marching following him. Gregory tripped and fell backwards into a chain-link fence. He landed on something hard and metal, but he pushed the pain aside so he could refocus on the approaching Endos. The bot once again made up half the distance to him in a blink of an eye. While keeping his gaze fixed in the hallway, he tilted his head slightly to inspect what he exactly fell on. It took a strong force of his will to suppress a flinch at the sight of a disemboweled staff bot, bearing scratch marks across its face and chest. Though the staff bots were vexing, absolutely infuriating, they were only doing their jobs. But, I guess at the end of the day, it was better than him, or any other person for that matter. Tilting slightly to maintain sight of the approaching Endos, he discovered another graphic panel. In stark contrast to the previous depiction, the Endo delivering the birthday cake appeared to be throwing a tantrum and attempting to harm the child. The customary negative red stroke behind the imagery remained, but a deviation in the affirmation caught his eye. That usual red X, symbolizing Phasmer Entertainment's attempt to dissuade certain behaviors in the Endos, had been defaced by graffiti. Purple paint obscured the original mark and replaced it by an audacious purple check mark. Despite his inclination to ponder on that, Gregory found himself in no position to do so, particularly since he couldn't locate a nearby button to open the panel. Regaining his footing, he observed the hallway extending to his left, surmising that a means to access the panel might lie in that direction. Resuming his cautious backward shuffle, his heart was racing after his fall. He feared another stumble. If he did, he wasn't sure he would be able to get back up in time before the Endos got to him, and it was quite clear that these bots, if their staff brethren are anything to go by, were not going to just gently remove him from the area. As he walked backwards, he started to notice more and more items associated to the daycare attendant, but once again specifically to the moon side of him. There were multiple plushies, advertisements, even full-on graphics of him painted on the wall. Well, if Fazbear Entertainment considered these things as their youth, then in some circumstances, this is their daycare, and I guess to them, they already had the perfect caretaker to watch over them as they learned. That said, if the moon was behind the learning process down here, then it was no wonder the Glamrock Endos are behaving like voracious toddlers. The activation of more Endos caught Gregory's attention, prompting him to glance to his left, where two additional Endos emerged from a small room. Momentarily distracted, he refocused on the original threat down the hall, only to find the Endos from the small room slowly advancing towards him. He darted his eyes between the two groups. He realized the perilous situation as both sets closed in, threatening to quarter him if the situation persisted. That's it, Gregory thought. Gregory strategically put himself in a corner and began to once again shift his focus on both groups of Endos. While it would be impossible for him to spelunk further with two groups of Endos after him, if he could trick them into merging into one single entourage, he could keep progressing without getting caught off guard. He kept the game of red light, green light going, making sure to not risk giving too much time to each Endo as they progressed. While he was still focused on surviving, that sense of deja vu once again resurfaced on seeing the Endos approaching him, and he didn't think it was because he was so used to running away from the Glamrock Endos. Wait a minute. That was exactly it. Now that he was able to see the Endos freeze in motion, better able to capture how exactly they were prowling after him, he started to recognize their stances. The zombie gait, the prowling stride. They were walking exactly like the Glamrock animatronics. Not just like them, they mimicked each step with eerie precision. The ones were imitating Chica's brain-dead shamble, had their mouths hung agape, and their heads tilted. The ones recreating Froxy's stalking looked to be almost sniffing in the air as they crept closer. This place was getting freakier and freakier, and what was really starting to creep him out was that he didn't think the Glamrock Endo's behavior was a result of Fazbear Entertainment copying over old animatronic code. Because he could spot the silhouettes of Roxy, Monty, and Chica, and how the robot skeletons were walking. But once he started to match the stance to the band members, a new and obvious question had to be asked. Why were none of them mimicking Freddy? After what felt like an eternity, Gregory was finally able to get both endos in a position where if he looked straight ahead, he could have them both in his field of view. There was just enough room given by the smaller group of endos to his left that he could enter into that small alcove and search for something that could help him get out of this nightmare nursery. He moved forward, doing a small spin to keep the smaller group in line of sight, and he thankfully moved fast enough that the larger group of endos only barely reached the end of the hallway when he got them back into his sight. The room Gregory had entered appeared to function as a storage area for nascent endos in various stages of development. Along the walls, large cages housed deactivated endos suspended on a macabre support structure that resembled scythe-like hooks connected to the ceiling. In between each cage was a workstation with what looked to be blueprints scattered and scribbled on. Gregory wanted to take a look at it. It looked like it was about the Glamrock Endo's designs, and if he could find a way to turn them off, then it would be worth a peek. But he wasn't exactly in a position to start reading. Caught between the desire to explore the blueprints and the immediate threat of active Glamrock Endos, Gregory pondered the feasibility of hiding. The Endos only moved when he wasn't watching. Even now, when they weren't currently looking at him, when just their fingertips and feet were the only present feature from the hallway, would they know he was still in the room if he hid? Relying on his peripheral vision, he identified a large bin to his left. It could work as a suitable hiding spot. And only that, he noticed the button that likely activated the previous panel he had passed. He really, really hated the idea of reading right now. He always wasn't the biggest fan of it. He absolutely preferred games and math over reading. But he was willing to make an exception if being ripped apart was at stake. He hastily grabbed a handful of blueprints from the nearest workstation and propelled himself into the bin. Before he even thought about reading, he immediately checked his fast watch. He knew he spotted cameras around here, and he wanted to seek assurance that he wouldn't meet the same fate as the staff bots he encountered earlier. Fortunately, the sound of the Glamrock Endo's metallic footsteps reassured him that, for the time being, they remained unaware of his presence inside the bin. On the cameras, some were even retracing their steps, naturally dispersing and filtering away from his hiding spot. That wasn't exactly ideal, but at the very least he was safe for the moment. Safe enough to at least look at these blueprints. Gregory awkwardly wallowed himself into a position where he could get a good view of the blueprint, as well as look above him in case an endo decided to take a peek inside. He clicked on his flashlight and began reading over what exactly these things were. A lot of the sketches didn't help. The language being used was technical, and even if Gregory could comprehend what was being said, all it appeared to be was some collection of construction notes and part change requests rather than any actual useful information at the moment. From what he could glean from his quick readings of these bots, they were apparently marked as NGT Endos, a rather stupid acronym for Next Generation. Despite their modern name convention, they apparently were operating off some fairly ancient software, if notes by the engineers were anything to go by. All of the Endos were operating off something called the Mimic 1 program. Apparently it was some type of rudimentary learning model that enabled animatronics to witness and copy an action they saw. Gauging from various notes of frustration attached to these blueprints, the engineers were being hit with budget cuts because the Pizzaplex itself wasn't exactly turning much of a profit as investors had been hoping. Originally, it looked like the first casualty in the budget slashing was the writing staff, responsible for creating the personalities, events, and storylines across the Pizzaplex. Apparently, the whole writing staff got replaced by artificial intelligence that ran off this Mimic 1 software, a template-style software that takes pieces of previously created stories and rearranges them into new scenarios. But apparently, surprise, surprise, that didn't exactly yield the results they were looking for, and eventually they were forced to bring back the writing staff, and by extension find budget cuts elsewhere. And not wanting to exactly cut their losses, the failed AI software was retrofitted to be used in the production of new endoskeletons. So instead of trying to fast-track the writing, Fazbear Entertainment wanted to fast-track the coding. Now, all the endos had to do was basically watch and learn, like plug and play. any of the Endos could conform into any one of the members of the glam rock band just by observing recordings of the original routines and then mimic them to perfection. After that, all those left to do was slap a new outer shell on them, and they're good to go. At least that would be the case if the engineers themselves didn't protest over the development process of the Endos. Apparently, all it took was one spat of two engines fighting to cause the Endos to begin dismantling one another. The MiG-1 software lacked the capability to discern nuance or filter out irrelevant information, let alone have any moral basis for what it should and should not mimic, resulting in an inability to differentiate crucial signals from extraneous noise. And that was made quite evident in the last page he had, where the engineers had informed management that they were not going to be working directly with the Endos anymore, and instead let the staff bots handle the lectures for the young. It appeared that someone had tampered with the Endos' lessons in the playpen, causing them to react aggressively to staff. Until this issue was rectified, only staff bots were permitted into the playpen, marking a temporary and cautious restriction on other personnel. Gregory found himself dumbfounded. No wonder the place looked abandoned when he initially got here. Those barricades in the corridor were set up by Parts and Service to make sure none of the Endos were getting out, as someone had been meddling with their learning process. His bewilderment deepened as he grappled with the realization that Fazbear Entertainment, despite its notoriety, had managed to achieve a new level of incompetence. The inherent danger posed by a system that merely replicated anything it saw without discernment was baffling and alarming. Even a child like Gregory could foresee the potential hazards of such a mechanism. What happens when it sees a magic thumb trick? Is it going to have enough foresight to know it's a trick? Will it just rip off its thumb? Or will it rip off someone else's thumb? The lack of foresight and consideration was both embarrassing and painful to even try to comprehend. Gregory inclined his head. The last of the mechanical stumps seemed to be rescinding out the room. Gregory uncomfortably tossed himself upright and took a peek out from his hidey bin. He double-checked his fast watch to be sure, but it looks like the Endos have went back to the starting area and were currently shambling around searching for where he could be. He pressed the adjacent button and hoped it was the one that opened the panel down the hallway. He leaned out of the work area and was happy to see that the panel did indeed open up, revealing another passage. Gregory ran forward, hoping to get ahead of the Endos before they came back, and sprinted as fast as he could through the hallway. The daycare things were getting much more prominent as he was going deeper to the maze. The ceiling was now painted in the color of a rainbow. More and more screens were displaying ads of the moon encouraging kids to sleep, and the walls painted with the green flowery hillscape was now completely padded like a psych ward. Upon reaching the end of the hallway, he was met with another panel, only this was the same design as the first one he was staring at. It was the Endo with the first aid kit, except now the green checkmark had been crossed out and replaced with another purple X. Right above the graffiti was an exit sign. This might in fact be the same panel he was looking at, but from the other side. If he could get it open, he could get out of here. Surveying the hallway, Gregory noticed an open doorway slightly ajar to his side. With caution, he pulled the door back slightly, allowing him to peer inside.
It's the security office.
Thank God, the room ahead of him appeared to be a security office. However, it was strangely lit. The room was barren of light except what looked to be a small pillar of light shutting down from the heavens on a desk with that all too familiar Freddy badge head in the middle. But it was smack dab in the middle of the room, and it didn't look like the rest of the space was being taken up by other workstations. Proceeding cautiously, Gregory retrieved his flashlight, and as he clicked it on, he felt his feet sink slightly into the floor. Peering down, he discovered a plastic padded checked floor beneath him. A sudden clunk and metal slam from behind startled him. Swiveling around, he found his exit sealed off by a previously unseen hidden panel. This one had another graphic on it. This one of an Endo surrounded by loving children. However, it was also tainted by that same purple graffiti, except the way it defamed the lesson was off. It still had the green check mark above it, but instead, the Endo in the drawing was given purple rabbit ears, and the silhouette of another humanoid rabbit leaned behind the Endo, giving a friendly wave in the same purple paint. A surge of anger burned inside of Gregory. That's who has been corrupting the lessons for the Endos. It was that crazy rabbit lady. But why was she doing this? Any of this? Is it just crazy? No time to theorize at the moment. Gregory needed to get out. He turned around and immediately almost lost his lunge. The entire room was padded, and hanging from the ceiling and from sickle-like hooks hung at least a dozen sleeping endoskeletons. This is bullcrap. The only hope he had was that if he got that security pass, maybe he could override the door behind him? He didn't receive any feedback from the doors before, and it seemed like they were all connected via the various buttons within this part of the facility. But it was worth a shot. Creeping as quietly as possible, a challenging task due to the rubbery floor material, Gregory made his way toward the security desk. Fortunately, the Endos appeared undisturbed. Hopefully, all in some sort of sleep mode or mimicking a state of inactivity. Suppressing any questions about the inexplicable presence of a security desk in this bizarre place, Gregory honked the nose of the bear icon. He flinched, hoping they wouldn't activate, but to his relief, they stayed quiet, and the bear's maw opened, revealing another security pass.
Got it! I can open parts and service now!
Gregory picked it up, and instantaneously, the panel opened back up again. Thank God. At least all this suffering was worth something at the end of it all. Gregory started to slowly trot his way out.
It is time for behavior training.
Oh, come on!
At the sound of the announcer's voice, every single Endo sprang to life, dislodging themselves from their hooks and turning towards Gregory. As if that weren't enough, the metallic stumps of the previous horde echoed from the back of the playpen, drawn by the noise. With no time for hesitation, nor any way to play his previous game of red light, green light, Gregory knew he had to run. Gregory looked back in the large group for as long as he could before he dashed out of the room as fast as his legs could carry him. Thankfully, the panel with the Endo bearing the first aid kit responded to his new security clearance and opened. Spurgy through it, he glanced back and saw the entire horde frozen in place, but close. Their predatory gaze fixed on him. He passed by the trash cans, and he hurled himself into the vent, scuttling through it as quickly as possible, bull rushing past the webs that still clung to the tunnels from his previous journey. Emerging on the other side, Gregory checked to see if the Endos were following behind him. Thankfully, they seemed to have wandered off. Leaning against the rough wall, he struggled to catch his breath. His entire body was trembling from the harrowing ordeal. That place was nothing short of barbaric, and he couldn't fathom the thought of returning anytime soon. Despite any reservations he previously had about traveling in Freddy's chest, he was definitely willing to roll the dice to become a meat pretzel, if it meant avoiding that hellish nursery he had just endured again. After a long and harrowing journey, young Gregory finally returned to the parts and service corridor. Exhausted but determined, he clutched his new security pass tightly. The flickering lights and the unsettling hum of machinery danced in rhythm with the beating of his heart. Finally reaching the entrance to the parts and service room, the double doors automatically clicked unlock in respect of his new security pass. He creaked the door open lightly, revealing a small white-tiled room, almost like a shower room mixed with the waiting room of a doctor's office. Gregory clenched his teeth when he heard the sound of talking coming from the other side of the second set of doors. he recognized the voice as the sour tone of Vanessa, and it didn't seem like her night had gotten any better. He sidled up to the side of the observation window, peeking his head only slightly out so he could peer inside.
I found him earlier and locked him up and lost him found.
That is great news. He can be returned to his parents.
The door to the cylindrical device Freddy was trapped in opened up. Freddy was strapped into what looked like some torture chamber version of a dentist chair. The mechanical joints that were poking and prying at him earlier still had a hold of him, and they were holding his head hostage, disjointed from his body.
He can't. Turns out, there's no record of him.
How unfortunate. If you reattach my head, I will go look for him now.
His name is Gregory. You know how I know that? His Fazwatch kept repeating it in your voice. Gregory, are you there? Gregory?
Vanessa, all the Fazwatches sound like me. It is the default voice option.
If you're part of this, you're scrap. Monty will run the shows until Parts and Service can slap your casing on a new endo. Hang out here for a while. I gotta find that kid.
Vanessa stroked a few keys on an ancient-looking computer setup. The cylinder Freddy was stuck reacted with a burst of steam and a mechanical hum, followed by the door to the device slowly descending, locking Freddy inside. Vanessa didn't bother to watch it close, opting to passive-aggressively hurry up to the staircase in the back.
Vanessa! Do not leave me like this!
Despite how desperately Gregory wanted to reunite and save Freddy, he kept himself under control and allowed Vanessa to leave the room. After she left, and waiting for just a few moments to make sure she wouldn't return, Gregory opened the second set of double doors and entered into Parts and Service.
Gregory, I am so glad you are here and alive.
Gregory managed to half smile, but as he entered Parts and Service, the sheer bizarreness of the place couldn't escape his notice. Gregory wasn't sure what he was expecting to be in Parts and Service, either before or after he endured the Indo Warehouse Daycare Storage Learning Center zombie nightmare just down the hall. Tables were cluttered with various complex machinery, tools, and parts, and even a larger storage area housed tools locked behind cages. An Indo was standing there as well, but unlike the ones in the daycare, this one wasn't hostile. It was clearly awake, but it was completely absent-minded. Even stranger was the presence of isolation chambers in the back right corner, like the glass cells that held Hannibal Lecter. It was also slightly worrying that the doors to these cells were boarded up, and the one that was the deepest in the corner had its glass wall completely shattered, with the shrapnel residue still not cleaned up.
Use the console to let me out.
Refocusing on Freddy, Gregory made his way to the computer terminal. The outdated machine stood out like a relic, a stark contrast to the advanced technology present throughout the rest of the facility in the Pizzaplex. Limited to displaying only the color green, the terminal seemed like a dinosaur in comparison. Fortunately, it appeared that Vanessa, in her haste to leave, had forgotten to log out of the computer terminal.
Welcome to Parts and Service. Please select your desired procedure.
The only available procedure that Gregory could find was to reattach Freddy's head. He highlighted the option and pressed enter, initiating the process.
Please enter the protective cylinder to continue.
The security door unlatched, and Gregory smiled with relief. Finally, he could reunite with Freddy. However, as he walked in, his smile faltered slightly upon getting an unobstructed view of Freddy's condition. He looked a bit dirtier than the last time he saw Freddy, and new scratches and burn marks were present on his shell.
What'd they do to you?
Routine maintenance. I am functioning much more better now. Grammar function error. Perhaps I am still not at peak performance.
Yeah, you could say that, Freddy.
Could you reattach my head?
Gregory's mouth went agape. To give himself credit, he thought he was pretty proficient with computers. But robotics? Engineering? People went to college for that stuff, or a trade school. Typically something taught to people when they're out of their stupid teen years.
I don't know, it looks complicated.
Just reconnect the wires. And be careful. I am not quite myself at the moment.
Gregory felt a small chill at the back of his neck. What did Freddy mean by that?
In case of an emergency, the protective cylinder will protect important service personnel outside of the protective cylinder. Deactivating animatronic safety protocols now. It is recommended that no mistakes are made during the procedure.
At this point, Gregory made no reaction. He had reached homeostasis with his anger and irate with Fazbear Entertainment. What was even the point of getting fixated on their stupid decision-making at this point? Still, he needed to get Freddy back on his feet, and Freddy was too large enough for him to do it on foot. So, he climbed on top of him.
To reconnect Freddy's head, repeat the correct sequence by pressing the flashing connectors.
The wires Gregory needed to connect were right at the neckline, but he was too small, or rather, Freddy was too big for him to simply stand to the side and reattach them. He struggled to maintain his balance on Freddy's round belly, but eventually found a decent posture to avoid sliding off. However, his position meant that if Freddy reacted dangerously, Gregory would be right on top of him, vulnerable to potential harm. Pulling himself up, Gregory peered into Freddy's neck, feeling a slight churn in his stomach at the sight of more endos without their shell. Nevertheless, he pushed the bile down his throat and focused on the task at hand. Four colored wires dangled loosely, corresponding to four colored slots in Freddy's head. Beneath the wires, colored lights flashed in sequence: blue, green, red, and yellow. The announcer had mentioned not pulling the wires, but instead pressing buttons that were supposed to connect both ends automatically. Getting even closer to Freddy's neck, Gregory observed that lights were shaped like squares. Were these the buttons he was supposed to press? Fiddling with his fingers, he examined every part of the endo's neck for potential buttons, but found none besides these lights. Hesitantly, he pressed the blue light. It clicked, and the corresponding wire moved forward, attaching itself to Freddy's head. A sigh of relief escaped Gregory as he pressed the rest of the buttons in sequence. When the final wire connected, he jumped as Freddy's head suddenly moved forward, screwing itself onto his torso. Another robot hand tapped Gregory on the back of the head as it moved over to Freddy's head, securing his small top hat into place.
Good job. Now use the testing console to run diagnostics and complete the procedure.
The robotic joints above him moved in a mesmerizing sequence, rotating and placing a series of colored buttons in front of Gregory's face. Uncertain of the exact procedure, Gregory was left to guess, as the announcer's instructions were less clear than before. After all, he wasn't a robotics engineer. Who would ever think a child could fix up an endoskeleton all by themselves? Pressing the blue button, Gregory saw Freddy's head shift to the right. He pressed the yellow next and it moved upward. He had absolutely no idea what he was doing. So Gregory proceeded to spam the buttons, causing Freddy's head to move left, right, up, down, until finally the buttons flashed and the joints ascended upwards beyond Gregory's reach.
Good job. Freddy is all patched up and ready for the big show. You may now exit the protective cylinder.
Gregory smiled, but suddenly all sense of balance left him as Freddy jolted upwards, landing on the middle floor. Gregory felt the impact knock the air out of him. Though it hurt, he reassured himself that he was all right, especially now that Freddy appeared to be in working order again.
I'm done, Gregory.
Gregory got to his feet, and both he and Freddy exited the cylinder. But now that they were reunited, he wasn't exactly sure what to do. His only escape option was absconded, and it seemed like Vanessa was even hungrier than ever to apprehend him with her Glamrock attack dogs. Checking his watch, he noted it was 3:30 a.m. Contemplating for a moment, Gregory weighed his options. While escape remained a priority, Freddy had mentioned that the secure doors would be open at 6 a.m., Reflecting on his recent escapade in the warehouse, he considered a different strategy. Seeking ways to improve his chances of surviving the relentless pursuit of the bots by taking the attack to them. Gregory looked up to Freddy.
There's so much tech stuff in here. Is there anything I can use to stop the other bots?
Freddy looked up and thought.
Bright lights in the eyes cause us to briefly malfunction. I suppose a phaser blaster or a phaz cam could work.
Where do I get one?
Well, you can win a phaser blaster in Phaser Blast. Phaz cams are often confiscated in Montegolf, but you will need a party pass to open one of those attractions. Chica normally gives them out for birthdays. Check her green room in Rockstar Row. You may find one there.
Freddy pointed up the staircase leading to the catwalk that encircled the protective cylinder.
Use the service elevators at the back of the room. They go up to Rockstar Row. It looks like they are all out of order except for Roxy's.
Gregory nodded and ascended the staircase. As he climbed, he noticed a few more workstations adjacent to the doors with Glamrock silhouettes. Each door likely led to the corresponding green room of that Glamrock, similar to how the elevators led to Rockstar Row. However, something else caught Gregory's attention. Blueprints adorned the walls for each of the Glamrocks, revealing the engineer's attempts to upgrade the bots in various capacities. Monty's blueprints showcased a prototype endo hand. Chica's beak featured a new voice synthesizer, and Roxy had an experimental ocular system designed by Fazbear AR Division. Raising an eyebrow, Gregory observed that each blueprint had a small tablet attached, suggesting that the engineers were recording maintenance logs. It seemed that in the aftermath of the daycare incident, the Brainiacs and Parts and Service were temporarily working in this area. Curious, Gregory selected Monty's claws and hit play to learn more about the enhancements being made.
Maintenance log for Monty. Montgomery's claw upgrades allow him to play the bass. While it performances, however, he mostly uses them to cause damage. The fence repairs are getting costly, so we recommend an immediate replacement.
Gregory's eyes widened. This was exactly what he needed. He turned excitedly to Freddy.
Freddy, check out these pictures. Chica has some sort of special voice box. Roxy has new eyes, and Monty was given better claws. We have to get these. We can upgrade you.
Gregory wasn't entirely sure, but it seemed like Freddy had a pained expression on his face. A blend of hesitancy, reluctance, and perhaps even sadness.
Gregory, those parts belong to my friends. I would never do anything to hurt them.
What? All they've done all night is try to hurt me! They get what they deserve.
There must be a good explanation. They are not capable of hurting a guest. None of us are. It would go against our programming.
Gregory understood what Freddy was trying to convey. He didn't want to harm his friends. However, at this point, Gregory wasn't willing to entertain the idea that the animatronics weren't programmed to cause harm. Having seen behind the curtain and observed how the Glamrocks were instructed, it was evident that the Endos were mimicking Roxy, Monty, and Chica. As far as Gregory was concerned, Freddy was the exception to what was a clear and consistent, foundational, aggressive, adversarial, and murderous norm. And if Freddy's friends were defective, deviating from what their programming should allow them to do, Gregory was more than happy to lend a helping hand in decommissioning the deviants of the Glamrock band. Thus ends tonight's program of Into the Night. Will Gregory be able to find a way to combat the animatronics hunting him down? What is that creepy rabbit lady planning? And is there more going on inside the Pizzaplex with this Mimic One software? Find out all of this and more next time on Into the Night. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to stay updated, please consider subscribing, following, or sharing this podcast. It truly helps us broaden our reach. Consider following us on our Twitter at Fazbear Podcast, joining our Discord, or supporting us on our Patreon or merch store using the various links in the description of this episode. Once again, I have been your host, Nick, and I would like to thank you all once again for listening. Have a good night, and drive home safe.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.